All right, welcome to another deep dive. And today we're going to be exploring the New Testament and specifically how it reimagines some ideas, concepts like creation and land that, we first encounter in the Old Testament. We're going to be focusing on a lecture called Creation, Land, and Recreation in the New Testament by Dr. David L. Matthewson. And we're going to uncover how these ancient ideas connect to our lives today and our place in this grand story.
That's right. Dr. Matthewson challenges us to rethink some assumptions about what it means to be a follower of Christ when it comes to our inheritance.
Inheritance, when I think of that in the Bible, I think of Abraham, the promised land, all very physical and geographical.
Right, that's a natural starting point. But as the New Testament, that concept expands dramatically. It's not about just inheriting a piece of land, but inheriting something much, much greater, a place in God's eternal kingdom. Think of Colossians 1:12, talks about sharing in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light.
Wow, that's beautiful imagery. But how does the spiritual inheritance connect back to the original idea of inheriting land? It feels like a complete shift.
It's not a replacement, but an expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Old Testament, land wasn't just about the physical boundaries. It represented belonging, security, provision, and blessing. And the spiritual inheritance that we receive through Christ takes all those concepts to a whole new level.
So instead of inheriting a piece of land in Canaan, we inherit a place in this eternal kingdom, this ultimate reality of belonging and blessing.
Precisely. And Dr. Matthewson, he highlights Galatians 3, where Paul connects us to Abraham, right? Paul argues that through faith in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles become part of Abraham's spiritual family, his seed, and therefore inheritors of the promise.
Hold on. So we're all heirs to the promise made to Abraham, even if we're not Jewish.
Exactly. This challenges the idea that salvation is exclusive to any one group. Through Christ, the blessings promised to Abraham become available to everyone, regardless of their background.
That's pretty radical. Wouldn't that have been controversial, especially for the Jewish people at the time?
It was, and Paul addresses this head-on in Ephesians 2. He uses really powerful imagery to describe what Christ accomplishes through his death and resurrection. He talks about breaking down the dividing wall of hostility that separated Jews and Gentiles. And Dr. Matthewson connects this to the Old Testament idea of God restoring his people to the land. But now, instead of a physical return to a certain territory, Paul is envisioning a new humanity united in Christ.
So the land becomes a metaphor for this new community, a spiritual reality that goes beyond physical boundaries.
Exactly. Paul expands that concept to encompass something far greater. A new creation where all those divisions that once separated us are abolished.
Yeah, I'm starting to see how the New Testament takes these familiar Old Testament ideas and expands them in these really surprising ways. It's both like rooted in tradition and radically new at the same time.
It is. It's a brilliant tapestry, and it gets more fascinating as we explore further. You see, what's interesting here is that the New Testament doesn't just talk about the new creation as like a future event. It also emphasizes that it's already been inaugurated. It's a present reality.
The already and the not yet, right. We're living in this overlap between what's here and what's to come.
Yes, and this tension should be driving our actions, our choices, our way of being in the world. Dr. Matthewson highlights 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." It doesn't say will come. It's already here.
Wow. So this new creation isn't just some like abstract theological concept. It's something we experience and embody now.
Yes. And Dr. Matthewson is careful to point out that this isn't about earning our salvation or checking off a list of good deeds. It's about the transformative power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, shaping us into the image of Christ.
So, but what does that actually look like? How do we live as new creations in a world that often feels so, old and broken?
Well, Dr. Matthewson points to a few key themes. Justice, peace, righteousness, reconciliation, restoration of all things. These are values that should be evident in our relationships, our work, our care for creation, really every aspect of our lives.
Okay, let's unpack that. So how does this new creation lens change the way we relate to other people then?
If we truly believe that everyone, regardless of race, ethnicity, social status, or even beliefs, everyone is destined to share in the inheritance of this new creation, it radically alters how we view those around us.
So instead of just trying to be nice, we're called to see them as fellow heirs, co-inheritors of this incredible promise.
Precisely. It's a recognition of our shared humanity, our shared destiny in Christ. And that recognition should lead to concrete actions. Dr. Matthewson points to the example of the early church, where believers share their possessions, they care for the sick and the marginalized, and they actively work to dismantle systems of injustice.
So it's not just about having these warm, fuzzy feelings towards others, but it's actually about living out the values of the new creation in how we treat them.
Yes, it's about breaking down the walls that divide us, seeking reconciliation, working for justice, and extending grace, even when it's difficult.
This is challenging me to think about how I view the people around me, you know? Do I see them through the lens of the new creation, or am I still clinging to those old patterns of judgment and prejudice?
That's a question we all need to ask ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. It requires a constant surrendering to the transformative work of the Holy Spirit.
So we talked about relationships. What about work? How does this perspective change how we approach our jobs and careers?
Well, remember, in Genesis, God gives Adam and Eve the task of tending the garden, even before the fall. Work, in its essence, is part of God's original design for humanity. It's not a punishment.
So we're not meant to just, you know, grit our teeth and endure our jobs until we get to heaven. There's something inherently good about work.
Absolutely. And in the new creation, work is redeemed, it's restored. It's not just about earning a paycheck. It's about participating in God's work of creation, bringing order and beauty and flourishing to the world around us.
Wow, that's a pretty big shift in perspective. Makes me want to reevaluate my own work to see how it connects to this bigger picture of, like, renewal and restoration.
I encourage you to do that. And remember, it's not just about the type of work we do. It's about the attitude and spirit in which we do it. Dr. Mathewson challenges us to approach every task, every project, every interaction with excellence, with integrity, and with a heart for serving others.
That's inspiring. It means that we can all be agents of the new creation, no matter what our job title is.
Exactly. And that brings us to another dimension of new creation living, environmental stewardship. You can't talk about renewing the earth without talking about caring for the planet we currently inhabit.
Right. It's so important. It's easy to get caught up in the spiritual aspects of the new creation and forget about the physical reality of our planet and the, you know, challenges it faces.
Dr. Mathewson reminds us that God's redemptive plan encompasses all of creation, not just humanity. And as image bearers, we have this responsibility to reflect His love and care for the natural world.
So environmentalism isn't just a political issue, it's a part of our faith.
Exactly. Caring for creation becomes an act of worship, a way of honoring the Creator by cherishing and protecting what He has made.
This is making me realize how interconnected everything is. Our relationships, our work, our responsibility to creation, it's all part of this huge tapestry of redemption and renewal that God is weaving.
It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And it's not something we just contemplate. We are invited to participate in it, to be agents of change, to be bearers of hope in a world that desperately needs it.
This is giving me so much to think about, but I feel like there's still more to uncover.
You're right. In the next part of our deep dive, we'll delve into some of the practical implications of this new creation theology, how it impacts our view of social justice, technology, global missions, and what it means to live as exiles in the present while we long for the fullness of the kingdom to come. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the deep dive. Last time we were talking about inheritance in the New Testament and how it's not just about inheriting land, but a place in God's eternal kingdom. I mean, that really was kind of mind-blowing.
It is a powerful concept. And what's so fascinating is Dr. Mathewson doesn't stop there. He challenges us to consider what this inheritance means for our lives now, not just in the future.
So it's not just about, like, you know, looking forward to some far-off paradise. It's about living out those values now, today.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Mathewson points out that the New Testament emphasizes this present reality of the new creation. Even as we wait for its full consummation, remember that phrase, already and not yet.
Right. We're living in this overlap, this tension between what's already here because of Christ and what is still to come.
Yeah. And that tension should be driving our actions, you know, our choices, our very way of being in the world. Dr. Mathewson points to 2 Corinthians 5.17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. It doesn't say will come. It says has come. It's already here.
So this new creation reality, it's not just some abstract theological concept. It's something we should be experiencing and embodying right now.
Yeah. And Dr. Mathewson is careful to point out that this is not about us earning our salvation or checking things off some list. It's about the Holy Spirit's power transforming us, shaping us to be more like Christ.
But what does that look like? Like, practically, how do we live as these new creations in a world that often feels so, so old and broken?
Well, Dr. Mathewson points to a few key themes that characterize the new creation. He talks about justice, peace, righteousness, reconciliation, the restoration of all things. These are values that we should see in our relationships, our work, our care for creation, really every aspect of our lives.
Okay, so let's unpack that a little. How does this new creation lens change how we relate to other people?
Well, if we truly believe that everyone, and I mean everyone, regardless of race or ethnicity or social status or even beliefs, is destined to share in the inheritance of this new creation, it radically changes how we view each other.
So instead of just, like, you know, trying to be nice, we're called to see each other as fellow heirs, co-inheritors of this promise.
Exactly. It's recognizing our shared humanity, our shared destiny because of Christ. And that should lead to actions. You know, Dr. Matthewson points to the example of the early church, where people shared their possessions, they cared for the sick and the marginalized, and actively worked to dismantle those systems of injustice.
So it's not just about, like, having these warm, fuzzy feelings, but it's about actually living out the values of this new creation, how we treat other people.
Yes, it's about breaking down walls, seeking reconciliation, working for justice, and extending grace even when it's difficult.
This is making me think about how I view the people around me. Do I see them through this new creation lens? Or am I still stuck in those old ways of judging and being prejudiced?
That's a question we all need to wrestle with. And it's not easy. It takes a constant surrendering to the work of the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to change us.
Okay, so we've talked about relationships. What about work? How does this new creation idea change how we approach our jobs and careers?
Well, remember in Genesis, God gives Adam and Eve the task of tending the garden, even before the fall. Work, in its essence, is part of God's design for us. It's not a punishment.
So we're not meant to just, you know, grit our teeth and endure our jobs until we go to heaven. There's something good, inherently good about work.
Absolutely. And in the new creation, work is redeemed. It's restored. It's not just about earning money. It's about joining God in His work of creation, bringing order and beauty and flourishing to the world around us.
That's a pretty big shift in perspective. It makes me want to look at my own work and see how it fits into that bigger picture of renewal and restoration.
I encourage you to do that. And remember, it's not just about the type of work we do, it's about how we do it, the spirit we bring to it. Dr. Matthewson challenges us to approach everything, every task, every interaction with excellence, integrity, and a heart to serve.
That's inspiring, you know. It means we can all be agents of the new creation, whatever our job might be.
Exactly. And that leads us to another important part of new creation living, environmental stewardship. We can't talk about renewing the earth without talking about caring for the planet.
Right. It's important. It's so easy to get caught up in those spiritual aspects and forget about our planet and the challenges it faces.
Dr. Matthewson reminds us that God's plan for redemption includes all of creation, not just humanity. And we, as image bearers, we have a responsibility to reflect His love and care for nature.
So environmentalism isn't just like a political issue. It's part of our faith.
Exactly. Caring for creation is an act of worship, a way to honor God by cherishing and protecting His creation.
This makes me realize how interconnected everything is. Our relationships, our work, our care for the planet, it's all part of this huge tapestry of redemption and renewal that God is weaving.
It is a beautiful picture. And it's not just something we watch from a distance. We're invited to participate in it, to be agents of change, to bring hope to a world that really needs it.
This is giving me so much to think about, but I feel like there's still more to unpack.
You're right. In the final part, we'll dive into some of the practical implications of this new creation theology, how it changes our view of social justice, technology, global missions, and what it means to live as exiles in the present, while we long for the fullness of that kingdom to come. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. You know, we've been going through Dr. Matthewson's lecture on creation, land, and recreation in the New Testament, and I gotta say, this whole concept of new creation living has really stuck with me.
It is a powerful framework. And in this final part, we're going to explore how this framework shapes how we think about some of the big issues that our world faces today.
Yeah, that's what I'm really interested in. You know, we've talked about relationships, work, taking care of the environment. But what about things like social justice, technology, global missions? How does this new creation perspective, like, change how we approach those things?
Well, Dr. Matthewson doesn't give us a step-by-step manual or anything, but he encourages us to look at all these issues through this lens of redemption, of renewal. He says the new creation is not just about personal piety. It's about participating in God's work, bringing His kingdom to every part of life.
So it's about more than just being good or avoiding bad things. It's about actively, like, working to make the world a better place, a more just place, a place that reflects God's heart for everyone and everything, right?
Yes. and that work takes many forms. When it comes to social justice, for example, a new creation perspective pushes us to challenge systems of oppression, you know, to advocate for those who are marginalized and fight for equality and dignity for everyone. It's about recognizing the inherent worth of every person as an image bearer of God, no matter their race, ethnicity, gender, or social status.
It seems like this goes beyond just like being charitable or doing acts of service. It's about dismantling the structures that cause injustice and creating a world where everyone can thrive.
Exactly. It's about being agents of God's shalom, which means not just peace, but wholeness, justice, right relationships in every area of life.
It's a powerful vision, you know. It makes me think about how I can do more to promote justice and equality. But what about technology? I mean, it's everywhere today. How can we look at technology through this new creation lens?
That's a great question. And Dr. Mathewson does touch on it briefly. He reminds us that technology in itself isn't good or bad. It's a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for things that align with God's will or go against it.
So it's about being wise about how we use it, to see how it can help God's kingdom grow, you know, promote human flourishing, care for creation, and also see when it's being used in harmful or destructive ways.
Exactly. We're called to be good stewards of technology, to ask those tough questions about its impact on us, on communities, on the environment. It's about using it to connect, to spread truth and beauty, to help those in need. And it's about resisting that temptation to let it control us or distract us from what really matters, you know, to dehumanize ourselves or others.
That's a really helpful way to think about it. It's so easy to get caught up in all the latest gadgets and stuff. But this reminds me to like step back and see, am I using this technology in a way that lines up with my values as a Christian?
Yeah, I think that's a challenge we all face in our world today. But it's a challenge worth taking on if we want to be faithful with what God has given us.
Okay, one more area I'd like to talk about is global missions. How does this new creation view shape how we understand missions?
Dr. Mathewson reminds us that the Great Commission, you know, that Jesus gives in Matthew 28, it's not just about getting people to say a prayer or believe certain things. It's about making disciples, inviting people into that full life that's found in Christ.
It's just not about like forcing our culture or worldview on others. It's about sharing the gospel in a way that respects their context, their culture.
Yes, it's about building relationships, showing God's love in practical ways, partnering with local communities to bring change and flourishing. And it's about recognizing that God's already working all over the world, drawing people to himself, even if we don't always see it.
That's a beautiful image. It's not about us going out to save the world. It's about joining God in what he's already doing, listening to the Holy Spirit, and working alongside others all over the world to help his kingdom grow.
Exactly. And I think that applies to our lives right here at home, too. We're all called to be missionaries where we are, you know, whether that's with our families or at work, in our neighborhoods, or even online.
That's encouraging to hear. It means we don't have to go to some far off place to be part of God's mission. We can be agents of his kingdom right where we are.
Absolutely. And it reminds us that the new creation isn't just some future destination. It's something we can be a part of now in every part of our lives.
This has been such a great conversation. It's really challenged me to think about how I live out my faith.
That's the power of these deep theological truths. They can reshape how we see the world and inspire us to live differently.
Well, I think we've come to the end of our deep dive. It's been quite a journey.
It has. And I hope our listeners have found it as enriching and inspiring as I have.
I'm sure they have. We've covered so much, from spiritual inheritance to social justice, from the already and the not yet, to what it looks like to actually live out this new creation reality.
And even though our deep dive is ending, I hope the conversation continues. You know, I encourage everyone listening to keep exploring these ideas, wrestle with those questions, and find ways to live out the values of the new creation in your own lives.
That's a great challenge. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive.
It's been my pleasure. Until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep living out that hope of the new creation.